Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message. Welcome back, everyone. Sorry about that. Where's Hubert? Where's Michael? Raise your hand. So, I don't know if you guys watched the Chili Bowl, but Mr. Hubert's going to be racing quite an opportunity. He is the reason I paid for Flow Racing. One guy, right? So I can watch him. So you better do us proud, my friend. No pressure. But we're going to be praying for you. Man, what a cool opportunity. If you know Michael, he is a racer. And he's good at it. So, man, we're going to be praying for you. We're excited to see how it goes. Win or lose, man, you're still one of our guys. So we're back. We got a new year going. We're going to look at some unique things in the next few weeks. The Faith Committee and I are going to be planning next week kind of what the future looks like for the next year of how the fellowship lunch is going to go and some different opportunities that we can do and the company's asked us to do. And so we're excited about that. But as we get into this new year, I wanted us to look at really when what God's called us to do in 2024. And so let's get started with this message. How should we live? If I was to ask you that, what would you say? How should I live? And so in thinking of that in 2024, you make these resolutions. You think about how can I be different? We look how everyone else lives, and we can make a pretty good judgment about what we like and do not like when it comes to that. But what I want us to do is look at ourselves this year, today, and say, for me, personally, how can I live and be exactly who God's called me to be as a follower of Christ? And that's important because not only are we believing for salvation, but we got to live it out. We got to live it out in a world that seems to be getting darker and darker. But God has called us to live a certain way, to live in His light and His promises. And so the verse I want to read to us today to start off is Galatians 2:20. Paul here, he's actually being accepted by the apostles. Remember, he was not one of the original 12. And he's kind of pleading his case. And I love this right here. Imagine you're on the defense stand and you're trying to plead your case. And he says this to him, "I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in Him I have shared His crucifixion," meaning He's died to Himself. He goes, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me." This is Paul saying, this is who I am now to you apostles. I need you to know this is who I am. This kind of plea to say that I am now a follower of Christ. And so when I think about how we should live, right, what does that look like for us as we go into a new year? We know that we should do good things and not do bad things, right? We always hear from the non-Christian community, that's right, y'all don't drink, right? Y'all don't drink. Y'all don't have sex before marriage. Y'all don't cuss. I hear that one a lot, man. Sorry I cussed, Donnie. Don't apologize to me. You answer to God, not me, right? But we all know these things that we shouldn't do. But what should we do? What should I do that's different than the rest of the world because I'm a follower of Christ? Well, Paul taught most of his epistles about a lot of that. And so before we understand what we should do, we got to remember who we are before our salvation. So here's the thing. If you're a follower of Christ in here, you're past that point. If you're not, you're not saved yet, so you know where you're at. But if you're not saved yet, this is who you are. If you are saved, this is who you used to be. First, people with deceitful and sick hearts. See, before we become saved, we have a sick, broken heart. How do I know this? Because the prophet Jeremiah spoke of it in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? He was speaking this to the people of Israel. Like, your heart is sick. We know it's sick because of what happened in Genesis 3, the fall of man. And so before our salvation, we have a deceitful and wicked heart. How about this? There's no good in people according to God. Now, the reason I put according to God is because we can all walk out and walk around daily and go, man, that's a good person. That's a good person there, man. That's a bad person, but that's a good person. The thing is, God doesn't look at our standard. He looks at his standard. And so when we read this and say there's no good people according to God, well, according to him, outside of salvation, no one is good. It sounds unfair. But listen to this. Paul's writing to the church of Rome, this man who said that he had been crucified by Christ, right? He had taken on what Christ had did in his own life. He wrote this in Romans 3, as it is written, forever remains written, there is none righteous, none that meets God's standard, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good, no, not one. Now, to me, that's just not an encouraging verse. Anybody encouraged by that? Right? But the thing is, you have to remember, he's speaking from this view that this is how God sees us, that left to ourselves, there's no good in us because we're tainted with sin. So Paul's trying to remind these believers, be careful that you go around thinking you're all good and mighty. And Paul would know, right? He was crucifying, tormenting Christians before he became a follower of Christ as a Pharisee. And so we know this, there's no good in people according to God. And people have fallen short of God's standard. See, this is the part we're all trying to measure up to. If only I can be good enough to get to God's standard. And that's the part that's so difficult. That's the part where people bring religion in and try to earn their way to God. But we see this, they fall short of God's standards. Paul went on to say this in Romans 3. There is no distinction since all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. What he's saying is simply this, man. He's setting these people up for the gospel to go, this is why I follow Jesus, because there's no good in me. There's no good in humanity. Now, how do I know this? Well, if any of you watch the news or follow social media, just scroll for an hour. You'll agree with me, man. Man, humanity's pretty broken right now. Now, here's the thing. It's no more broken now than it used to be. It's just we can see it now, right in our hands. Hey, they were broken back in Paul's days. They hung people on crosses. We don't do that today, but they did then. So humanity's been broken since the beginning of time, since Genesis 3. But see, now we can actually look at it. And you all know that when we look at certain things like the news and social media and what people tell us and what we get to see, it's tragic how broken humanity is. And so what do we do with that? Well, we have to remember before we're saved, that's where humanity is. Some of you were there. Now you're saved. Some of you may still be there. You may not be saved yet. And that's where you are. But after salvation, this is what happens. Here's the unique part. We are made righteous again. So I was righteous, my forefathers in Genesis 2. Then they became unrighteous through sin, which was imputed to all humanity. So I'm born into unrighteousness, even though you're a sweet, pretty little baby and everybody loves you to death, you become four or maybe two. Remember they call them terrible twos? Well, there's terrible threes and fours and fives and six. And wait till you get to 17. Good Lord. Like, it just gets worse. Right? Right? But that's what happens. Like, we're like unrighteous until we realize how much we need a Savior. Right? Now, if you remember, you guys have been coming down here. This is this God's sovereignty view. We're like, you're depraved. But remember, after salvation, we're no longer depraved. we're saved. And so we're made righteous again. We read it in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, there's nothing better than to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be made clean from that which you cannot clean. Could you imagine if you disappointed someone in your life and they would never forgive you, ever? But God does what? He says, man, confess that sin to me and I'll cleanse you from all that unrighteousness. Then we're a new creation. We've read that here. We see it, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we're a new creation. So now I'm following Christ. He sees me as a new creation. In other words, he doesn't see my sin anymore. I've been made righteous by what Christ has done on the cross, not by my works, simply by what Christ has done for me. I believe what he's done for me. And we know that that does what? It brings eternal life. And so we have eternal life. How do I know that? Well, John writes about it in John 3:36. He says this, we know about John 3:16. Everybody knows that verse. But do you know John 3:36? He says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Think about that. Wait a minute. I've been made righteous, but not only that, I got eternal life. See, my life, the way I know it, is not eternal. Because I know one day I will die. But in Christ, I will never die. My soul, my spirit will live forever. It's eternal. The unique thing about John 3:36 is there is a comma there and it keeps going. I didn't put it there for the sake of, it's one of them totally depraved verses. It's not encouraging, but it does go on. It says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. It says, but whoever does not believe, God's wrath awaits them. That's John 3:36. Well, man, I'm glad I'm not in that category anymore. I don't want to deal with the wrath of God. He's made me righteous through Christ. And so now I have eternal life. Okay, so now that I know all this, it's 2024. Man, I got to live in this broken world. I've been living in it a while. I'm 55. But it seems like it's getting harder. It seems like it's getting harder, you guys. It's not getting harder to live, it's getting harder to do the right thing. Because now I'm being told what is right is wrong, and what I've been told what is wrong is right. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm confused. And so now we have to live out this Christian life in a world that is against us. And you have to remember this, the Gospels, the Bible told us this was going to happen. This is no surprise to us. And so what do we do now? How should we live now that we choose to follow and believe in what Christ has done for us? This is the meat of today's message. Listen to this. We're called to do what? We got to act in a mode of surrender to God. And so it starts this way. We should live sacrificially and holy. Not holier than thou, but we should live sacrificial and holy. You know what sacrificial means? To sacrifice means the act of surrendering yourself to God. That's the Webster's Dictionary. They actually haven't gone in there yet and removed God. But if you Google it, it says the act of surrendering to God. And so we got to be sacrificial and holy. Paul wrote of this in Romans 12. He said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Paul's pleading to the church of Rome to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I like how Paul says, do not be conformed by this world. See, he had to struggle with it himself. The world's trying to form us. No, just do it this way. But as believers, we're like, man, I read about this. And God says, no. He doesn't want us to do it that way. That's not part of his order. And so we have to try to live outside of the way the world's telling us. Well, Paul says, to do that, you're going to have to be a living sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice something to be who God's called you to be. And then, of course, he calls us to be holy. If you Google holy, you know what the definition is? It says to be dedicated to God. They haven't removed that yet either. It's coming. It's just a matter of time. But to be dedicated to God. So I'm going to be sacrificial in my life, but I'm going to dedicate it to God. And then he tells us we should do what? If you want to live out your Christian walk this year, we got to do what? We got to bear fruit. You should bear fruit. Your daily walk should bear some type of fruit. John wrote this. He said, by this my Father is glorified that you bear fruit, much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. See, when Jesus was asked, how do we know who your followers are? He said, oh, you'll know them by their fruit. I can imagine them scratching their head. What do you mean, fruit? What are you, fruit? What are you talking about? Because you're going to know them by the way they live. That's how you'll know they're my followers. And we know if we go into the scriptures in the book of Galatians, we read about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit of a believer, that we walk in a place of love, that we have joy. Don't confuse happiness with joy. Two different things. That we find a way of being patient, that we are kind to people, that we walk in goodness, right? Somebody says, man, are you a good person? You say, well, hey, man, I'm trying to walk in goodness. I don't know that I've arrived. Faithfulness to what? To who God says he wants you to be. Gentleness, we should be gentle and we should have somewhat of self-control. Probably what's going to be the hardest for me this year is self-control. Why? I'm a veteran. I believe in government. I believe in America. I believe in the Constitutional Republic. And it's not easy for veterans right now. We got to have a lot of self-control. But that's something that God's called me to live out. Donnie, you gotta have self-control. We all are called to have self-control. And so with that, another thing that we need to do as we live out this new 2024 season is speak truth. Speak truth. Y'all ever heard this, man? The truth hurts. You ever heard that? Well, it does if you're a jerk when you use it. It's all how you speak it. But the truth does hurt. The truth is not fun sometimes, right? You ever been at work and you wanted to go talk to your supervisor or ask for a pay raise or complain about an employee or do whatever, and you're like, you just can't do it. You know why? Because you're afraid you're going to hear the truth. You're afraid of what they're going to say is something you don't want to hear. I've talked to many of people. It's like, have you talked to your supervisor? Well, no. I'm like, well, you're not going to get nowhere if you don't talk to your supervisor. You need to start there. You know why we're afraid? Because we're afraid we may hear the truth. And the truth may be not what we want to hear. But as believers, we have to walk in the truth. How do I know this? Well, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus. And he writes this to these believers. He says, therefore, rejecting all falsehood, whether lying, defrauding, telling half-truths, spreading rumors, or any such as these, speak truth, each one with his neighbor. Speak truth. Speak truth. For we are all parts of one another, and we are all parts of the body of Christ. He says, be angry. Did you know it's okay to be angry? He says, be angry. We're angry when the truth is not spoken. Be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior. Be angry. But he says, yet do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. See, there's this mode of truth that brings out righteous anger. It's okay to be angry at the immoral things going on in our world. I hope you are. But it's not okay to take that anger and live a life this year as if you don't even know who God is. You can't do that with that anger. In other words, how do we take the anger that we see happening around us because we love people and their souls and use it for good and not use it in a sinful way? Why? Because if you go to bed angry, you usually wake up angry. And then next, we should forgive each other. Oh, yeah, we've heard this one, right? Just forgive people. Paul continued on in Ephesians 4. He said, be kind and helpful to one another. Tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely. I like that. Now, this is the Amplified translation, but I like that freely. That means no conditions, just as God in Christ also forgave you. This is coming from a man who was beaten, who was put in house arrest, who eventually was martyred and had his head severed. And he's like, hey, be kind. Oh, I know they got me on house arrest and they don't like me, but be kind, be compassionate. But not only that, forgive people. See, part of living out who God's called us to be this year is we got to forgive people. Maybe it's that coworker that has driven you nuts and you're back January 3rd, and he is too, or she. And you're like, man, they're still here. Right? They're still here. I was hoping they would move on. Nah, you gotta live it out, man. You gotta forgive them. You gotta move on. You gotta change direction. If God has put you in a place where he wants you to have influence in the worst of your enemies' face and place, they're never going away. That's why God has you there. So you wanna spend time with them. You wanna become their friend. You wanna be kind. Why? Because ultimately, you want to live out who God's called you to be. And then last, you need to do what? You need to find contentment. Really? I got to be content, Donnie? Yeah. Now, don't take advantage of this verse here, because I know what'll happen. People do it all the time. But listen to what the writer of Hebrews wrote. He said, keep your life free from the love of money. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I like me some money. Y'all like money? Anybody not like money? Right? None of y'all won this $800 million or whatever last week because you're here, right? So you wasted money, but you helped them be rich. Good for you, right? I come this close to buying a ticket, but I didn't do it. I should have. I mean, what's 10 bucks, 10 tickets to be almost a billionaire, right? But what does he say? Keep your life free from the love of money. The love of money. And he says, and be content with what you have. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is he saying, hey, be content if you're poor. Be content if you're in bad relationships. Be content if that car of yours has broken down 100 times and it's costing you a ton. That's not what he's saying. He's saying there's a part of your life as a believer where you got to find some contentment. You got to. But you know what'll get in the way of that? Falling in love with money. You know what's corrupted the world more than anything? Money. It's not the money itself. It's the corrupt, broken, sinful person that has it. Money will corrupt your life if you don't look at it the right way. And you'll never be able to live out this year if you don't find some type of contentment in life, at work, at home, with your vehicle, with relationships. Like at some point, it's got to be okay to just go, you know what, that's who that person is, and I can't change them. And man, I'm going to just try to be nice as long as I can. I'm okay with that. I'm going to just be content with that, right? It's okay to go, you know what? This is the house I got. I don't like the siding on it, or I don't like the front door. I don't, you know, but you know what? At the end of the day, I got heat, a roof over my head, and God's been good to me. We have a bed and shelter. You know, it's okay to be content to go, hey, man, my car is, yeah, it's got 259,000 miles on it. That'd be my wife's 4Runner. We're going to try to get it to 400, break some records, right? But it's old and it's a junker. Everything works. You do have to open the glove box to slam it very hard to get the AC to come on. But you know what? It works every time and it's saving me a labor rate, Damon. You know what I'm saying? You got to find contentment. And so far, my wife's content with it. So we're in a good spot. Contentment. Now, before I close, I want to finish with this. To live out the Christian life, it ain't easy. But you know what we do need? The very thing we hate. We need order. We need a moral compass. We need somebody to say, this is the way and this is not the way. And as much as we don't like that, we crave that. And I'll explain to you why. Who watched football this last couple weeks? Who hates the refs right now? Come on. Okay, Gary's honest, right? You know how it is. You watch it, and first of all, you go, well, the refs have already thrown the game. First of all, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because what you're saying is they sat in a room. They conspired together to go, here's what we're going to do, guys. We don't know what's going to happen out there, but I'm going to just start throwing flags. And guess what? They're going to win. Okay, I'm good. You good? You good? You good? You good? You good? Yeah, let's do it. You question the character of every one of them men and women, and you don't even know them. So they go out on the field and they have one job. What is their job? To follow the rules. We've set up some rules to play this game. And if you follow them, you'll never hear from us. We're just going to stand here, make sure that we follow the rules. But if you don't follow the rules, guess what? You're going to hear from us a lot. And if you yell at me, you might hear from me a little bit more than you'd like to. And we watch it. You know how I know? Because when the game's being played and a flag is thrown on the team you enjoy, you're mad as fire. Man, what that? I can't believe that. But then when the other team's doing something and they're like getting away with it, you're like, why are they not throwing a flag? So one way it works and the other way it doesn't work. But that's life. There are people out there that are called to say, hey, here's the line. Here's what's right. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can't do. Now, we're going to let you do, but when you violate that, we're going to throw a flag. We're going to remind you. That's what ministers do. We just don't throw flags. We're just trying to remind you that, hey, God has created a way that he wants us to live. And hey, have at it, but every now and then we're going to give you some truth. We're going to throw a flag and go, hey, just so you know, we don't advise that. There's another flag, right? Oh, God doesn't want us to be that way. Oh, there's another flag. And just so you know, just like the refs, it's happening in real time. Sometimes they're going to miss it. And then we get to sit back for 2 weeks and review it, review it, review it, review it, review it from every angle. They had a half a second to do it, right? Sometimes ministers, they're going to blow it, maybe say something, they didn't mean it that way, or they did. But at the end of the day, the motive is pure. There has to be order. And if we as believers can't follow God's order and live out who he's called us to be, how do we expect the rest of the world to even care about who we follow? And so individually, we have to look at ourselves and go, man, how am I going to live out 2024? You have an opportunity to do your best to follow God's lead and be who he's called you to be. When you blow it, he's going to forgive you, but he wants you to continue to press forward. And so as I close, I want to watch this video and then I'll pray for us. But it's a reminder of kind of like this new year as we plug into the 2024 season. Watch this.
As the sun rises on a new year, we reflect on the moments that shaped us, the challenges that tested us, and the joys that filled our hearts. In the ever-changing landscape of life, one thing has remained constant: our God. He is unchanging and steadfast. He walks with us through every stage of life. As we enter into this new year, we have the privilege of walking with the same mighty God. The same God who made a way when all else felt dark. The same God who is making an eternal home for us. His promises endure, bringing hope and light to every corner of our existence. With each sunrise, His love unfolds anew, guiding us through the uncharted territories of the coming days. As we navigate the unknown, we cling to the certainty that His grace will be our compass, leading us towards a future filled with purpose and direction. We don't know what this year is going to bring, but we do know who is going before us and beside us. As we step into the new year, let us marvel at the wonders around us. Let us find joy in the simple yet profound truth that our God remains the same.
So as we close out this lunch, the refs are going to get it wrong. The umpires are going to get it wrong. The officials are going to get it wrong. But God never gets it wrong. He spoke from the beginning of time, and He's still speaking today. And He's always right. His way is the only way. And so my encouragement for you this year, how should you live? Man, live in a way that honors God with your life. And He might just bless you this year in a way that you would not expect. Let's pray. God, thank You for our time. And God, as we take a moment just to pause to reflect on who You are and what You've done for us, we live in a world, Lord, that just seems different. We know it's not a surprise to You, Lord, that You have a divine order, that You have a way. And humanity in its own pride is trying to make its own way, but we know, God, Yours is the best way. And so, God, help us to be believers that reflect that in our daily lives. We know, God, we are not perfect, but we are made perfect in Your eyes simply by what Jesus did on the cross. And so, God, as we carry out through this 2024 season, we have an opportunity, Lord, in this place, Hendrick Motorsports, to be a light to those around us, to be gracious, to be kind, to be patient, to have self-control, to walk in goodness. And so, God, help us to do that. When we miss the mark, we do ask that You forgive us. So, God, I ask Your blessing and favor over this group as they go back to their workplace. And we pray, Lord, as always, for Your extended mercy and grace. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at gotomro.com. Take care and God bless.